Ellie Dillman, are you there? Ellie, can you hear us?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry about the delay. I'm sorry about the delay.
That's okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good.
What time is it in Australia where you are?
It's after midnight.
Well, we'll only keep you a few minutes. So how do you feel? How do you feel about what we just heard Tony saying? What is there anyone like him in Australia?
Well, not that I'm aware of. Because we're not suffering to the same extent as they are in America. Look, it's people just go about their lives and they just, I'm not a complying person, so I don't understand it. I was sort of, someone sent me a document called the mask exemption. And when they sent it to me a few weeks ago, when Queensland did get put back in lockdown, and I went, wow, fantastic, that's great. I'm just going to go about the streets and go into shops and, you know, get on trains and do whatever. And that's what I did, and I didn't wear the mask for the whole time. But it was very confronting to see how many people were compliant. And I gave them this, I told them, you know, here is a way that you, you know, the health department's saying if you think, if you've got a medical condition and you can't wear a mask, and here's the way that you don't have to tell them what medical condition you've got. They can't make you produce a letter. So confidently you can go about doing your business and going in and out of shops. And do you know how many people wouldn't do that? Like, they just were given, like I saw it as, oh, my ticket to be able to go wherever, and they didn't do it. Oh, no, I just think I'll just put the mask on my wrist because I might need it. And I went, what? Why? Why? Why can't you just forget about it? Oh, no, I think it's going to be okay. I said, well, you know, and that's what frustrates me with this whole process. The people are not prepared to take that small step and say, no,
they're not ready.
I'm not
yet,
doing
huh?
it. What?
Are they not ready yet?
Yeah.
The question is.
I don't think people in Australia, people are very laid back and a bit apathetic. Mm-hmm. All right. It takes a lot to get them motivated to do anything. I basically am not a person that easily complies with things if I see that what is happening is completely wrong, right? But to actually get other people to do that, it is very, very difficult. Now, I got into this originally because I just felt it wasn't the right thing to do, and to just sit back and say, look, I could have stayed, I'm a retired lawyer, I could have said, oh, look, my garden's more important than this. But I wasn't prepared to do that. I said no. And so I don't know how many letters I've written to the TGA, to the different premiers, to all over the place, and just pointing out to them, look, the PCR test is flawed. Here's the, you know, the 19 virologists saying that most people, and in Queensland, all the parliamentarians have been sent some of the letters that I've written. They just throw them in the bin. I said, oh, maybe the Queen lady needs to read this, you know, because the thing is, they are operating on the basis of silence. But I said, I don't care if they're silent because these are all legal letters. And one day I can come to the court and say, look, I've written 50 letters and I haven't got a response, you know. But to get that same sort of idea out of other people, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's just this idea that, oh, no, it'll be okay. And I said, well, it won't be okay. And no. You've given away all your freedom now. What are we going to do? I've written letters about...
I was surprised, Ellie, to see when we were on a number of Zoom conferences, maybe 5 or 6, I was surprised to see that there are only very few attorneys who are willing to engage in a fight in this, and they don't seem to understand that this is not about constitutionality. Of course it's about constitutionality, but they don't seem to understand that you have to attack at the very foundation. You just mentioned it, the PCR test. If we destroy the PCR test, then the entire House of Cards is going to collapse. And I don't get it why there's so few people in Australia who understand this. Why is that?
Well, I think that because, like, once you start mentioning, like, I've never stopped mentioning the PCR test from the minute that I saw you talking months and months ago, all right? And I went, yes, that's it. This is it. This is what we have to get people to understand. You can't even get them to understand John Ioannidis' paper that says 99.9% of 65-year-olds and under will survive this virus. That is like that to me is a no-brainer. You know, the minute that you know that, why are you going to be rushing in and doing anything? But, and I'm very disappointed in the lawyers, absolutely disappointed that some of them can't come forward and even say, look, what do you want to do? We'll get together and we'll run a few pro bono cases. You know, what is that? Like, that is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And here am I, this little elderly lady writing these letters after letter after letter after letter, pointing out to them the PCR test is flawed. You've gone against the PC, you've gone against the directives of the WHO, who have even come out and said you can't use it as a sole diagnostic tool. You keep doing it. Okay. And this refusal is because of my legal training, I suppose I put people on notice about their actions. This refusal is at best negligent, but at worst, actually criminal. Right? And it's like you're talking to people through a phone. They just don't understand. They're very, what I see is very, like, they're not rocket, it's not rocket science. The PCR test is flawed and therefore everything's got to fall down. You can't just say I think it's, Ryan, it's because people, they go into this mindset that says, well, we don't really know how the PCR test works. We don't know what all this sort of medical, jargon is all about. And then they think it's all too hard. Huh. So they don't. Now, even some of the lawyers that I have spoken to, there's no spark of anything in there that could say to you that these people remotely even understand this. They don't even remotely understand PCR tests. See, I made it my business. When you started to talk about it, I thought, right, well, this, I've got to find out what that is, what they're doing, what's happening, okay? But it's like the lawyers that are involved are doing it because they think they might make some money. Uh-huh. Right? Not because not because that this someone has to stand up against this, otherwise what's the point? You know, if we're not going to stand together. Now, I was initially, I was right, I still do, I write in my letters, but then I was very disappointed because I couldn't find anybody that actually would show an interest in getting involved. And so then I came across Concerned Lawyers in Victoria, which is about three states away from where I am, and spoke to Maria and said, well, she's written the most incredible letter and it's been delivered to all different parliamentarians, the Prime Minister. Do you know that there's not been one answer to it? Not one answer. It's like a big wall of silence.
That's
and I had a meeting because now I'm sort of working with a couple of the political parties. And I said to them, what is this? That they're not answering the letters. They're not even saying anything. Not even what I call government speak, you know, which is rubbish, but at least there's some document. And they say that's how they normally are. And I said, well, what happened to the days when they actually answered you? Because they're supposed to be your servants. You know, where is it? No, nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. And that is a far hard thing for people to understand when I ask them to write letters, do things, do that, but we're not getting any answers. I said, you don't care. We keep the letters. We have them there as evidence that we have done this, we have done this, we have done this. We have, last December, I wrote to the, I actually wrote to the Attorney General because she's a Queensland, she's in my electorate. And I said to her, well, Shannon, you realise as a lawyer that we have to work on evidence. So I want you to show me what the evidence is as to why you've extended the state of emergency, because I believe that at the very heart of it, that is what's giving them the power to do a lot of things, okay? And she it was like a hot potato to her. She immediately said, oh, no, this is not my area. I have to send it off to the health minister. And then there were no answers. So I used to write, Shannon, remember I wrote to you on this date and I haven't had a response and I'm writing to you again now. What's happening with the health minister? Why aren't they? Wasn't she responding? Because even at that stage, back in December last year, I pointed out the statistics of the survival rate and that the PCR test is flawed, the whole box and dice, okay? Never got an answer. And then I started to write to all the chief health officers around Australia and do the same thing, complete. But it's a, you know. And that the refusal for them to stop testing is absolutely unbelievable in the face of two WHO directives and our own TGA saying they don't know what the PCR test can do, right? They don't know what it can do. Jeez. But they think it's okay that we should have this incredible situation based on a test that they don't know what it can do. And I wrote, I think, the first one was called, because Victoria was in a lot worse position than we were in Queensland, I wrote a document called No Case for a State of Emergency in Victoria, okay? And that set out all the links to the WHO directive, to Ian Eadie's paper, to the, you know, the study that they did with 10 million people that didn't, who were asymptomatic, who did not transmit the virus everywhere. And so they had all of that, so they could click on them and they could go to those places. And that was distributed to all parliamentarians in Victoria, Then I did another one which just adapted it for Queensland, and that was sent to all parliamentarians in Queensland. Not one response, Rhino. Not one parliamentarian, nobody said, well, we've looked at it and you're totally wrong because we'll show you this paper and that paper that says, no, you're wrong about the survival rate. Oh, it's a killer virus. It's going to jump off the toilet seat and kill you. You know, there's nothing like that. And I started to call it the smart virus because they said, gee, this is a very smart virus. It knows whether you're an adult or a child. It knows whether it's day or night. Yeah. It knows how many people are in the room, right? And I made a joke because I just couldn't get past that business about people not understanding, not using their thinking brain, because I'm saying, how could you believe this stuff, right? And they do. And they do believe it. And they believe it. I never turn my television on and listen to the news. I haven't done it for years.
One of the psychologists whom we interviewed in one of our sessions, which had the title, wie hieß der Titel, als wir die Psychologen hatten? How to Turn Off the Fear or something like that. And he said, turn off television and radio, and that'll be the trick. That'll do the trick, more or less. But, you know, we have the same kinds of responses. If we write letters to the authorities, or there's one journalist in particular who keeps asking in press conferences, he keeps asking the government questions. He never gets an answer. And if he does get an answer, or if we do get an answer, it's boilerplate language with absolutely no meaning. So they're trying to avoid this issue.
I have a question. Like, what's the vaccination situation in Australia? Like, do a lot of people get vaccinated?
Well, no, because our Prime Minister is very sneaky. At the moment, the vaccination situation is there's a lot of vaccine hesitancy. The Prime Minister came out initially with two members of the TGA. Oh, no, it's safe and effective. We're not making it mandatory, knowing full well the Commonwealth government can't make it mandatory. But he leaves that to the states, right?
Uh-huh.
They have now made it mandatory for all, and I write to the Chief Health Officer here. They have made it mandatory for all people employed by the health department. I don't call it a vaccine. I call it an experimental injection. And I keep saying, this is an experiment. How can you mandate someone to be part of an experiment?
That's the point.
Right? And that's the point. Mm. And I always use those words. To the TGA, this is an experiment, and what are you doing? My next letter is going to be to the top. I found out who the top of the tree is in the TGA, and it's Professor Skerrick or someone, and I will be writing to him and saying, what are you doing? Because you are now complicit in all of this, because you know people are dying all over the place and being injured. So what is actually happening? Because you know what? I think someone's done a freedom of information where they asked the TGA at what point, how many deaths will it take before you call a halt? And they've got no plan for that, Diana. They came back to say, oh, we've got no plan.
This is the same everywhere. We just listened to a tape this morning and we have a pretty concrete figures from other countries, not just Germany, but the United States and Israel. And this issue has entered the mainstream media, but only in the United States. There is a reporter by the name of Tucker Carlson. He mentioned it in on Fox News.
Oh, yes, I'm listening to him, yeah.
And he said, on average, 30 people a day are dying after getting vaccinated, which is huge. And he says over the first 30 people a day. And he also, added that over the first 4 months of this year, fatal adverse reactions to this or to these three vaccines are already now higher than adverse reported to the VAERS, which is a register where people report the adverse reactions.
Yeah,
most of this is from the United States, all of it.
You might know about a study saying that the reported cases into the VAERS CDC system is less than 1% of all the cases.
Yeah, well, there's another doctor from Houston. His name is Dr. Hotze, and he said the reported cases is probably no more than 10%. Now, you're saying 1%. That may very well be possible because maybe on average it's 10%. But during this so-called pandemic, of course, there's so much pressure that maybe it's only 1%. I agree.
And what's happening in Australia, you know how in America they've got VAERS and in Europe they've got some other system, right? But in Australia, they're not even reporting them. They're not even telling us. They are hiding that information. The TGA is supposed to have it on their website. No, it's nowhere to be seen. Now, the thing is that because in Australia, there's no... the person that's going to be responsible for the damage that is done to people will be the Commonwealth government. And because they've stood behind the vaccine companies and because the vaccine companies have no liability whatsoever, and they never have, you know, from 1986 in America. And nobody's cared. But now I think that what's happening, they are occasionally reporting the odd death in the media. However, get this. Oh, you know, people are developing blood clots. Oh, no, it can't be the back. Oh, no, it's coincidental. Well, why is it coincidental with the two vaccines that we're using that they're getting blood clots? Don't you think that's a bit odd? Oh, no, we'll keep going. We'll keep going. And it's just outrageous. Even people that are saying, well, that can't be right. People aren't getting hurt by this, right? And I don't know, what's your situation in Germany? Do they have to have this jab or what?
What do you mean?
Do they have to have the...
I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay. Is it mandatory in Germany for them to have this jab, this injection?
No, not yet. They're pushing the envelope, just like everywhere else.
Yes. Now we've got any new person coming into our defence forces. It's been written in already into the vaccination and into the army vaccine, navy, and whatever handbook. Mm-hmm. They have to have that. They have to have it in preparation for readiness to be posted wherever. No, they have to have it. And in so many ways, what they've done is very sneaky because they've got around that business about the Prime Minister rushing around saying, oh, no, it's completely mandatory. You don't have to have the vaccine.
In Europe, beg your pardon. In Europe, we have a resolution of Parliamentary Assembly of Council of Europe number 2361 stating that no one shall be discriminated against for not having been vaccinated due to possible health risks or not wanting to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. It's totally outrageous because when you think about the concept of it. Why are these people, like who are not my doctor, saying you have to have this? It's good for you. How would they know?
No. Right? This, I mean, what's happening right now, if you take a closer look, and you don't even have to take a closer look, is quite obviously that the other side is trying to get rid of the rule of law and thereby get rid of democracy. So that's why they think they can do what they want. They can do as they please and write these mandatory vaccinations, at least for military personnel, healthcare personnel, into their respective codes.
But and the people who work in the quarantine hotels, they now have to have them all, And they don't want, a lot of people do not want to have them, because a lot of people have suffered, right, massive even side, like even though they're not, well, at this stage we don't know what's going to happen, but they're not, the look as though they're sort of massive headaches and things like that, and they said, oh, no, I'm not going to have the second shot, because if that's how I am with the first one. Now, but it's, they have overridden our right to, I say to people, the first human right I've got is that I am entitled to live. So that means if I am, I'm not going to put anything in, into my body or do anything that may prevent that from happening. Because the thing is, I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know what reaction I would have, right? So I'm not going to do it. That's it, finished. Now, people don't see, because we've never been raised like with the idea that we've got any human rights. We don't understand that concept. People don't understand it. So they willingly went along with this thing where I say, well, you're just giving away your human rights, right? And then you won't give them back. They're not going to give them back easily once you've given them over, right? We've given our rights over to the doctors. Well, I haven't, but most people have, because it's whatever the doctor says. And I say, no, I have to have more evidence than that. It's not whatever the doctor says. You know, how many deaths are there every year from doctors misdiagnosing, giving people the wrong medication, and surgical accidents?
That's a crazy, it's crazy.
It's completely, you know, it's complete insanity. It's complete insanity. You know what's going to happen is probably that someone else is going to have to take the lead here, because quite obviously Australia won't. But one of the other countries is going to come in and help you out, because whatever happens in the other legal systems will have ramifications and implications in Australia as well. That's why I think this is so important to have this international connection of lawyers.
Okay, let's see, maybe because I think we're running a little late, and we should, you know, because we have quite a few.
You're a lot late letting me in, now, what I've got to say is that, that I have connected up with a couple of the political parties here. One is about giving, it's a party to do with their standing for the fact that everyone has the right to give informed consent. And the other is what the One Nation Party, who don't agree with this to an extent. Now, I met with Senator Roberts the other day, and basically we are crafting some questions to be asked in Parliament as part of that process. And of the other two, I'm trying to get people who are willing to become, to take on the challenge of saying, well, you're not, you can't do these states of emergency and things like that. So so there's that movement there, but it's me, it's only me doing this and saying who can look, well, you know, I don't know whether I can put on my Superwoman cape and fly off and you know, but this is like, what am I trying to do here?
Well, you know, you're doing the right thing, Ellie, and someone's got to do the job. Someone's got to do the job. Yeah. It doesn't make a difference who it is as long as it's done. And everything will make a difference. I'm absolutely certain about this, because we're all interconnected.
We are, and I just Rainer, I keep repeating, every letter I do, it says the same thing. The PCR test is flawed.
Great. Right? Great.
And basically, and 99% of people, 65 and under, survived the virus. So why are all these people now, why are we giving it to children?
Yeah.
Why are we going to give them this thing, you know, 2 minutes after they struggle to get out of the birth canal and be born? We're going to inject them with something toxic, right?
This will stop, Ellie. It will stop. It will stop. It can happen any day.
I think we, I think we have to now turn to Peter Weiss from Slovakia.
Yeah,
you know, because we there are quite a few people that we now have to talk to.
We're running a little late right now. So,
I know you're running late.
So yeah, I apologize for cutting you off, but I'm not really cutting you off. We'll be in touch anyway.
Okay.
Ellie, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
That's okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.